This Thanksgiving, consumers are feeling the sting of inflation and higher gas prices and shipping delays. Now, politically, the Biden administration wants you to remember how much better things are than last year's Thanksgiving lockdown that was pre-vaccine. But Republicans, well, they're banking that by next Thanksgiving, they will be preparing to take control of Congress. Let's do a politics check-in with Rick Klein. He's political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
Great to have you. Now, this week, President Biden released oil from the strategic reserves to try to nudge down gas prices. But on Tuesday, he acknowledged it's not going to be easy.
And while our combined actions will not solve the problem of high gas prices overnight, it will make a difference. It will take time, but before long, you should see the price of gas drop where you fill up your tank.
Now, Biden has also renominated Jay Powell to run the Federal Reserve, which has inflation on its mind. So, Rick, is challenge number one for the White House prices, inflation?
I think it's challenge numbers one, two, and three right now politically, because you can do only so much when it comes to spinning or explaining what's going on in the economy. It's where people feel it. And I think this decision around the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, it's a very rare move to use that reserve, particularly to address gas prices. And I think it's an acknowledgement of the very rough politics around gas prices, around inflation. Even if the economy is booming through other metrics, through unemployment, through the stock market, if people don't feel it because they're filling up their pumps and it costs more or it's more to get a gallon of milk, that is almost impossible political problem to solve.
Well, the messaging from the White House is to talk about its big infrastructure bill. And Joe Biden is also talking about his big social spending plan, now trying to move through the Senate, investing in childcare, pre-K education, Medicare, climate change. I mean, if it passes, you take the two of these, this could bring generational change. And yet his poll numbers are where they are. Why?
Well, I think there's a few things going on. One is that this generational change needs to impact people inside of a year if the midterm elections are your goal. So you're talking about very long-term investments and very short-term political problems. There's also, I think, been a significant disconnect between the goals that are laid out in these bills and the way that people actually feel them in their lives. And I think that's reflected in polling, where a large majority of people are saying that they don't feel like President Biden has made good on his promises. I think it's in part because of the legislative infighting. A lot of the stories have been about the price tag or about what's not in the bill. And the view among Democrats is once they get to the other side of both of these bills, they can talk about what's in them and sell them politically. The challenge, though, is that so much of the die might be cast already, where people already have a sense of what works and what doesn't and what works for them. And there's a very small minority of people who feel like these bills actually will make their lives better. And because they are long-term investments, you just may not have an alignment of the political benefits and the policy benefits that Democrats want and need.
Yeah, well, and as you say, if you're playing catch up on the narrative, that's really tough. So now we're a year away from the midterm elections. How worried do you think the Democrats are?
Terrified. I mean, look, there's no way to look at this and see a good situation, whether it's history, whether it's the economy and gas prices, perceptions around it, whether it's the president's approval rating, whether it's the approval rating of Republicans, who by some metrics have a larger favorability than they have in terms of a congressional takeover than any time in decades. Almost any way this lines up, and this looks like it could be a disastrous year for Democrats. Yes, they've got time, but the question about how you can redefine the storylines, the narrative that connects to people's lives in a midterm election year, very, very difficult. And I think a lot of Democrats are eager to talk more about President Trump, more about January 6th. All of those could help around the margins. But in terms of framing this next year ahead, short of some unexpected big outside development, if this election is about the economy and stewardship of it and just the basic competence of governance, under all of those areas, Democrats are going to have their work cut out for them just to hold ground in the House and Senate.
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump on the Republican side. Some observers see a couple things happening. They see Wyoming, where pro-Trump Republicans voted to boot out of the party Liz Cheney. She's a conservative Republican, but perhaps not conservative enough. And in the state of Virginia, where I live, Glenn Youngkin won. He's the governor-elect now, and he got a lot of Trump voters in the southern part of the state to come to the polls on issues like schools and race. There's an argument out there that this is still Donald Trump's party. Do you buy that?
It is Donald Trump's party. Now, that isn't to say that there aren't Republicans who might try to survive with him at arm's length. And Glenn Youngkin in Virginia is actually an example of that. The question is, how do you try to adapt Trumpism for your own purposes as a Republican? And so far, that means that you're a lot Trumpier than you are not, no matter where you are or who you are running as a Republican in 2022, 2024. Now, that isn't to say that there isn't a downside, and there's going to be, and there's already been some primaries where he's involved, where he may be getting behind the less electable of the candidates, someone with more scandal in their past. And obviously, the pushing of the big lie is a medium and longer-term problem, maybe for the future of democracy. That all said, Trump himself is an ascendant figure inside the Republican Party. I thought there was something telling. The Republican National Committee Chair, Ronna McDaniel, I asked her recently about President Trump's purported threats to leave the party, and she demurred on all of that. But she said, look, all that matters is that he is still part of the Republican Party. And yes, if he bolted the party, we would lose.
All right. Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Rick, always good to have you. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.